for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
A Wednesday afternoon, December the 30th, 1987. Midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is one of two of the Wednesday afternoon service. Blanche Reynolds is the speaker.
Let's look this afternoon in the book of Haggai, and we will briefly look in Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You this afternoon in thanksgiving and worship, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For all that You have spoken to us this week, Lord.
Oh,
for the refreshing of the Holy Ghost in the midst of us. We thank You, O Lord, that we have come a little closer, hallelujah, to the mark of the high calling. We thank You, Lord, that You have set the order of the discipline of a people who are called by Your name. That out of death a life force has come forth and its quality is resurrection. We thank You, O God, that there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. We thank You, O God, that the manna, Harashabala Bahaya, is still there. O Bashum Likasikade, to be bought, enhanced to the appetite of Him who would seek and believe and trust and obey. O Lord Jesus, this afternoon, how can we express our love, our thanksgiving and gratitude for Your mercy? Father, I call the people to awe and reverence to Your holiness this afternoon. And Father, we in one mind and in one accord would see You, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we ask You, oh God, to write Your word now indelibly upon our heart. We command our being to Your attention. We ask You, Lord Jesus, to make life come forth to our understanding.
Yes.
We bind every thought into captivity. We render every imagination helpless. Only that which is pure truth will we receive, Lord. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to share with you from the book of Haggai, but I want to talk to you about the tabernacle also, the house of the Lord. When this book was written, it was after the Babylonian exile. Cyrus and Darius had allowed the people to return to Jerusalem. Some 16 years had gone by, and Haggai and Zechariah were the prophets in that day, and they were concerned about the house of God because things weren't going right. And there were a lot of areas that weren't being fulfilled, and the people had no place to worship. And when there is no house of worship, there's a limitation of the body coming together and knowing the presence of God and the liberty and freedom of His Word. And so, beginning to read in the first verse, in the second year of Darius, the king of Persia, the successor of King Cyrus, in the sixth month and on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by means of Haggai the prophet in Jerusalem, after the Babylonian captivity, and to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah. Now, Shealtiel means I ask of God. And Zerubbabel means like the word, or born in Babylon. Shealtiel was the governor of Judah. And to Joshua, which is like Jesus or deliverer, who was the son of Jehozadak, which means God's justice, who was the high priest. And this was what the word that came forth to them saying. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, this people say, the time is not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. Although Cyrus had ordered it, done 16 years before, the rebuilding of Jerusalem's wall, and had later been forbidden, but not so of the temple. You see, they didn't want the people to build up the walls of Jerusalem, because then they would become fortified. And in being fortified, they would lose their control. So in their allowing them to go back and rebuild their city, they had made sure that this was not one of the areas that they would be allowed to do. But he did not see any problem with them building the temple. You see, if he had understood what the temple meant and the authority and the privilege of worshiping God, he would have been more concerned about the protection that they received from the Lord God Almighty other than what the walls of a natural realm would provide. And so, it was at this time that the word was so needed, because things weren't right. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house of the Lord lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, and set your mind on what has come to you. You've sown much, but you've reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you don't have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with a hole in it. Now, let's put on our spiritual glasses, or let's move into that spiritual realm of understanding where we look with spiritual eyes and let's see where we are. And what is going on, and the lesson of God that we could learn from as He expands His Word by the Spirit to us. And let us make understanding to into our inner being. Let us learn by the Spirit that we might walk in the Spirit, expecting spiritual understanding in everything that we give ourselves to, so that in our growing, maturing, perfection, this perfected people, these overcomers, might come over every obstacle of death. So, let's see this tabernacle. I liken it unto the tabernacle that you and I are. And I liken it unto the tabernacle that Jesus, the branch, the Messiah, is building. Zechariah says it's a true tabernacle. And this true tabernacle is going to be built according to the plan of the image and the pattern of the Word, Jesus Christ. And this true tabernacle that has been born out of death into life is going to line up in the positiveness of His perfection and every area of our life dealt with, until every force that would come against us, everything that would set itself up against truth, would be noted and cast out, so that the plan of the Master Builder would be intact and we could contain the glory of Almighty God in this hour as He calls out of darkness a lighted people, a people in the transparency of truth who will know who they are, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything that is in between. For the mind of the Father, as He thinks, so shall a people be. We shall know and understand everything that He has planned in this end time hour for a people who will stand in the gap for many, who will break the chains of a Babylonian system and let the people know the freedom and the liberty of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God, and know that in Him is the place that He has designed us to dwell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, we must begin to consider our ways. Beloved, deliverance has to come. If the body comes in, and the body is coming in, whether you believe it or not, whether you're in agreement with what the Word says or not, beloved, it's time to stop arguing over doctrines and look at yourself and consider your way and to make available yourself unto the living God and let Him show you to you so that in seeing, hallelujah, you can really see, to empty out the flesh, see, to deal with that which belongs to death, to pull down everything that keeps you from the liberty of truth. For the Lord has given us the power and authority. In fact, He said, all power and all authority is given unto us. And as it stands in this moment, we're looking at a people who've sown much and reaped little. The church looking for another method, trying to excite the people to their program, counting their success by the numbers that sit in their congregations, looking unto men for their sustenance to build their buildings rather than to Almighty God, the covenant promise that makes us heirs to the throne of God. Beloved, it's time for the church to stop worshiping God with their back to the altar. It's time to know the author and the finisher of our faith and know the Word and let the Word do what He sent it to do in our midst. And let life, glory to God, be expected in everything that concerns us and stop viewing the Word and our need with the eyes of death and the expectancy of failure. And let's move on into the Holy of Holies and take hold of the glorious Word and allow it to strip and cleanse and heal and make holy this vessel that is designed to contain the glory of God. You see, that's His plan. That's His way. And we're going to be like Him. Hallelujah. So every word that proceeds out of His mouth is going to be fulfilled in you and me. Hallelujah. See? So it's time to get on. See? It's time to get the junk out. See? It's time to call it what it is. It's time to stop letting the pride of life separate you from really living. See? It's time to let go of this old death, last Adam realm of bush, as good as it was, as necessary as it's been. But it's time to learn to walk in the Spirit and expect a spiritual understanding and a spiritual way of life. And it says in John 4 that God is seeking a people who will walk in Spirit and truth. When I realized that God was seeking me, He's looking for me to walk in Spirit and in truth, that I might know the way of life. Hallelujah. And so He says, it's time for you. For you know, we've built up the things and the kingdoms and the ways that we were thought necessary to provide and make the provision for this day. But beloved, a spiritual people who are going to walk in the Spirit are going to know and build in the Spirit a spiritual house that will not be moved by the storms of life nor the strife of this natural realm, but we'll be as home and as comfortable in the Spirit of God, dwelling in Him and knowing His plan, the comfort of the Comforter, hallelujah, the way of life, the Melchizedek order, the power of an endless and an indestructible life. I see a people arising in the glory of God and taking hold of their bashurahara, their inheritance, and knowing just what we did inherit and just exactly what it means in this hour when it looks like disaster is going to overtake us and the darkness is surely going to cloud over until there'll be no way through if you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord God, let us understand that You're calling a people who'll stand in holiness and think, oh, Batila Karabaha, my God has called me out to bring me in, and the function of His plan I long to know I long to rest in the provision of God, to understand as He understands, to speak as He speaks, to walk as He walks, to know that the Lord in me, the hope of glory, coming forth, a transfiguration plan that has been designed to be contained in the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, you've sown much and you've reaped little. And lack of knowledge have destroyed us. But when we get the blinders off, see, when we get the junk out, when we deal with the things that shape our personality, that cause us to think with a retarded thinking process, because we're so bound up with a flesh understanding, see, when you can strip that old flesh control and get down to business with God, there's no good thing that He'd withhold from you. Hallelujah. You've sown much, but you reap little. But do you know that the promise of God that was given unto us, that our harvest would overtake our planting and our planting overtake our harvest? That we couldn't get it in quick enough? Hallelujah. And there would be already harvested time? And we're not walking in that kind of truth. We're not walking in that kind of dominion. But glory to God, the plan has been made ready to make it so for each of us. See? He said, you drink. No, you eat, but you don't have enough. You know, I used to laugh at my stepmother. When I was 13, she made me do the cooking. I hated it. But before very long, I loved it because I learned how. See, when you don't know how to do something, you don't like to do it. But I got to where I could make better cornbread than her than she could. And my biscuits were yummy. They were good. And my dad would brag on me, and I was proud that I could cook. But she had to walk out of the kitchen and push me in it to make me realize that there was a quality in me that could do that, see. And she used to sit down at the table, and while she was eating her dinner, she'd be worried about what we was going to have for supper. See? And I used to think, great day in the morning, when are you going to quit? You know, pushing me. Because I was the guy that was having to cook it, see? And I said that much to her one time, but then it wasn't nice what she said back to me, and I'm not going to tell you about it. See, we eat, see? But you don't have enough to eat, see? You drink, but you don't have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it, see? Consider your ways, it said. See, God is calling forth an obedience, a discipline to His body. You can't be up one day and down the next and expect to impress the world that's doing their thing and walking in the pride of life and trying to live according to the standards of all that they think they've been equipped to do. When you're standing there in the spirit of poverty, walking in rebellion, trying to scratch around and hope that you can make it, when the Lord your God called you to a discipline that's to do you good, that's to bless you, that's to bring you out and take you, bring you in, so that you can stand in the day when the fiery darts are flown up and put at you. In the day when the devourer knocks at your door, see, every time God gave you a word, it's to bless you. It's to heal you. It's to prosper you. His righteousness is your protection. And it's time that the body of Christ found it out. Yes. And when we learn obedience, hallelujah. This is what the Lord said to me. Obedience, you want to write it down maybe. Obedience, God's order, lets God's blessings flow. See, you wonder why you're not moving in the blessings of the prosperity of the seated position in the throne of God, in the authority, the government of God, while He's making your enemies your footstool? It's because of lack of discipline in our lives. It's the forces of evil that have been allowed, birthed in us through the genes, the process that's formed our personality from the rebellions of bloodlines in generations past, weaknesses, tendencies that's been formed in us that will have to be cast out in the obedience to His Word. For His blood was bruised so that our bruised blood wouldn't matter. He knew all of the bondage and weakness that we came through. He knew how many horse thieves and liars and people that were there that were wrong and whoremongers and garbage. And He also knew the perfect blood of a perfect Son who would take away the sin of the world. And He made provision for you and for me to understand it. And in His name, cast it out. That death would no longer have dominion over Him who was the heir of salvation. That in the authority and the dominion of salvation, you could walk in its fullness and command your right in the kingdom of God. And that old slapbox, the devil, tremble because you know who he is, and cast him out. See? It's time that the body, the church, the ecclesia, see, the called out ones, look around and see what you're walking in. That's right. See what kind of garment you're wearing. Mm-mm. And all your wages, see? Got them with a bag with a hole in it. You know that? So that every time you get a little something, you don't know how to handle it. And the biggest part of the men, the husbands and wives that I counsel, The first thing when I tell them that they need to honor each other and that the man needs to be the head of the house, he automatically thinks he ought to control the pocketbook. But you know, when you've married a woman that's thrifty, she has bookkeeping ability, a good head on her, you're not a very good manager if you don't utilize the best of her qualities. I mean, you're missing it. And when the priestly man, the head of his house, loves his woman as his own body, and the order and the discipline of the headship of Jesus Christ, the Lord, comes to the household and the family, begins to walk in a divine order, let me tell you, there's not a devil in hell that could knock on their door. There's not a devil in hell that could take their wages. There's not a force or a principality that could cause their roof to leak, their well to go dry, or their forces to be abated. Because the Lord your God made a provision, and He wrote it in the covenant of His blood. And in that covenant, He gave you and I the power and the authority in that agreement to be as He is. Now think on that. Hallelujah. See? Obedience. God's order. Let God's blessings flow in your life. See? Now, seventh verse. See? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and your present conduct, and how have you fared? See, where are you? See, where are you? The Word is full of life. Are you walking in life today? See, are you sitting in such a pattern of self-pride that you're embarrassed if somebody saw a demon in you, or more over, called one out? See? That's right. Are you sitting in a place where you haven't examined how you're faring? See? Beloved, if it can't work in here, it's not going to work anywhere. Because this is where it was designed to work. See? If it can't work in your own home, you certainly don't have any business out ministering it. I know we stand in His righteousness, but standing in His righteousness equips us to see with His eyes and hear with His ears and love our family like our own body and build them up and strengthen them and heal, bring healing to marriages and let children, consider our children, how they feel and what their expression and how they're being molded and shaped, and what kind of an image are we projecting as parents and grandparents for our children to see, because they're role modeling what you are.
Yes.
It's time to let the Word be life to you, see. Consider your ways. Hallelujah. I find myself examining me over and over again. I thought I'd got all the rejection out till I was in this meeting, and this pastor was, I guess the best way to say it, the easiest way, was that he wasn't quite sure about a woman preacher. And then when he heard the word, he kind of got an elder brother attitude. And he kind of came against me. And it grieved the spirit in me so, and that it touched on that rejection that was still there. And I just went and sat down and I cried. You see, the sons of God would have recognized the source. And they would have very lovingly stood and allowed that man his privilege of voice, but carried on with the ministry. And I went to my bed that night weeping and crying before the Lord and repenting because I failed Him. Because there was something in me that the enemy could put his finger on. And it was bigger at that moment than my understanding and authority in Jesus Christ. That split second, I cried and sat down. You see, this many-membered body, this corporate man-child structure, this body of Christ Jesus is not going to break its ranks. And there's going to be nothing in us that has to be tested in this end time so that when He sends you out to battle, beloved, you'll stand there until the victory trumpet sounds and it'll be in your mouth. And you'll know that the giant's been slain, the bands of the yoke are broken, and the chains of the jail cells and the captives have been set free. That's what I'm trying to say. You'll know that God has set you in the order of ministry. And what you have cast out, you have filled with the Holy Spirit. You have invited Jesus to control your life so that you come forth as His refinement, ready for ministry and the Holy Ghost gifted nature to flow. And the gifts of the Spirit don't have to try to get through your human container that has been all bound up in the selfishness of your natural man that wants to be something, or the pride of life or whatever has kept you from bringing the clear word. Beloved, when you empty out this old human container and bow and worship before the Lord and seek His holiness, hallelujah, there'll be an army arise. It's like a sleeping giant in this hour, but it's going to rise and shake the chains of death. And it's corporate in stature and many-membered, and it'll know that the voice of the Lord has spoken, and it'll move according to the command of the Holy Ghost. And the battle in the heavenlies will be fought, and a heavenly people, a heaven life understanding will take up that place where God has designed us to operate in Him. Now, how have you fared? We look and we examine. And every time He shows us something in us that needs to be dealt with, hurry and deal with it so that you can go on with God. See? Eighth verse. He said, go up to the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house. And I will take pleasure in, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord, by accepting it as done for my glory. Now, where did He send them? He didn't send them down the valley floor, but up to the hill country. See, you get up to the mountain country, up there where the vision is obscured, up there where you can know and see and understand, up there where the wind has blown on that old tree and that tree has hunkered down and stayed there and the wind and the storm didn't move that tree. That kind of lumber is what God's looking for. And when that kind of lumber is put into God's house, in other words, when that kind of understanding, that stick-to-itiveness, the power and the energy of the Holy Ghost in you, the understanding of the wisdom of God coming forth in you, making that counseling mighty, making His wisdom glorious, making His righteousness a way of life, a walk in truth, that nothing can come and cause you to sway and bend because of the storm of time. Let's get up to the hill country where the lumber, the goodly lumber is. Hallelujah. And let this building be made suitable for the glory of Almighty God. Hallelujah, He said. Hallelujah, I said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorious Señor Jesus. He said, you look for much harvest, and lo, it came to little. And even when you brought that home, I blew it away. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies in waste. And this is what the Lord said to me. All of my life, I had been praying for people and wanting to see the body of Christ healed, delivered, set free, seeking God. Grieve my spirit that so many people come and they sit in the congregation where they have come to worship God and they scarcely open their mouth. They're so bound up in their flesh and their own feelings and their own thoughts that they forget even where they are, and they plan out their day or their week or their month with their own thought pattern, and the devil steals their time of worship from them because they're not a delivered people, and they don't understand the warfare that's come against them and the battleground of their mind, and that's where it's being fought. And you either allow him to rule and reign there, I mean that old sly fox, the enemy, or you let the Lord your God rule and reign in your midst. Beloved, when you come into church, if the guy sitting next to you isn't praising God more than you are, you ought to be spiritually minded enough to give him your elbow, because he's the loser. See, let us understand that the Word of God, His counsel, His authority, His might as heirs of salvation belongs to us. Hallelujah. And all of the authority and dominion, so that when the harvest comes, God won't have to blow it away because you're not able to deal with it or to help it. See, how many years did I go around so ignorant, praying for people out of my compassion and not His authority? There's a difference, you know. There's a difference, see? Hallelujah, see? Letting us be so Christ-minded, see? So gifted with the nature of the Holy Ghost, the personality of God. So knowing by the Spirit the need of the body, so that when ministry comes in the wisdom of God, you can set that creature free. Hallelujah. And every time deliverance comes, that person moves closer into glory. And then there's the nurturing. So you don't leave them empty and unoccupied. Empty so for the enemy to come back. But you're careful to know that there's a nurturing process. Some body of believers that's going to teach and watch after until they can know how to keep the devil out. How to keep from slipping back. How to stand in the dominion of the authority of the Word of God and be life in the body and not poor you. Oh, isn't that a shame? See? But know how to walk in the authority and declare the Holy Ghost the privilege of life. See? He said, you look for much harvest, and there wasn't much. See, and he said, what you did bring home, I blew it away. Why? Because his house is laid in waste. Because I needed deliverance so bad. How could I look in the eyes of the congregation or the people that he sent me to? Because I was in worse shape than they were. But oh, when the truth begins to come. And that old fear thing got exposed to me that night in Portland, Oregon. And glory to God, those precious saints gathered around me and cast that out. And this old orphan girl that had been so afraid all her life looked at herself in the mirror. And I was like 10 years younger. Free. Hallelujah. Free. You see, God knew that in time to come, I'd be driving all over the country by myself preaching His Word. And if I was going one step afraid all the time, you know, operating in the realm of fear, I'd be such a target for the devil, I wouldn't be fit to speak the name of Jesus when I got there, when they were to where they'd call me to preach. You see, God doesn't make any junk. He's calling the people out that's going to rule and reign with Him. He's designed you to sit in His throne. And if we don't move on, if we don't deal with ourselves, if we're not a delivered people, a deliverance people, that's what salvation means, you know. It means deliverance. And if we don't understand what we have been given heir to, the dowry of Jesus Christ, oh, hallelujah, that we'll be as He is.
Glory to God. A birthright. Of the double portion, the Lord says to me. I said, yes, he was the firstborn. That means he got a double portion. What is it, Lord? And the Lord said to me, it's the authority of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the name of Jesus. I said, glory to God, that's a double portion. And I receive it. I'm the heir of the firstborn. Hallelujah. A double portion birthright. And it's in my mouth. Hallelujah. And it's a glory to me. It's an excellence. Hallelujah. That conveys me into His presence and allows me to know His wisdom in everything that concerns me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, He said, my house that lies in waste, while we run each man eager to build his own house. See, my, at the ministries that have built their own kingdom, ministered unto themselves, let the people be like zombies almost following them. If they say it, it means more to them than what the naked word says when they read it in the word. But thank you, Lord God, that there's a company, a remnant, a people, hallelujah, that's been called. Who knows what the word union means? To be joint heirs. Like the vow of the marriage. To be in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that there's a people who know the right. Hallelujah. Of the kingdom. The power of an endless and an indestructible life. When God birthed you to live eternally and He gave you this time factor of grace in this natural realm, it was for us to overcome all the elements of death. Corinthians says that death is the last enemy to go, and sin is the sting of death, and it's got to be dealt with. And it needs to be done now as quick as possible, that we might begin to walk as a resurrection people out of death into life, to know what it is to be a life force in this earth, a letter from Jesus Christ to the world. Hallelujah. Let us understand that the Lord our God is calling a people who will know His Word. Hallelujah. And walk in it. Glory to God. And it's time to get the true temple ordered of the Lord. It's time to fit in this many-membered body. It's time to know His voice and be so in tune, so revealed, so the revelation, such a revelation unto you of Him, His nature, His union authority. Oh, I'm in my Beloved, and my Beloved is in me. And He calls me to come away. I tell you, there's things that He has ready to share to us that we know not of. And the reason we don't know it, because we're too busy operating in the junk that we've been contained in. We're too busy satisfying flesh instead of satisfying God. And it's time to know the difference now. There was a time when I didn't know the difference. There was a time when I lived in the realm of my emotions. I sang all the time, and I got all the goose pimples and the hair standing up on the arm, and ooh, and the trembling lips and the shaky legs, and it was wonderful. Hallelujah. But you know, you can't stay there. Because when you leave that setting and you walk out the door, the world hasn't changed. Hallelujah. And if you don't have the authority, and if there's things in your life, see, that keep you from knowing your authority, then you're going to be the target for that old sly fox, the devil, every time. Not once in a while, but every time, see. And the Lord allows a little crisis to keep going on in your life, because what's it doing? It's driving you to Him. Hallelujah. See, we're like those guys that got on the airplane that went to Hawaii. One point in that trip, they go beyond the point of no return. In other words, it's closer to go on than it is to turn around and go back. And that's where I see the body right now. See, it's closer for us to go on. There's no way the devil could draw us back into that old flesh realm of sin and all the garbage that we've come out of. We know the road there. We're not about to be involved back in all of those situations once we begin to get the junk out. Once we understand the revealed plan and we know what God is saying to the body, see. He said, my house which lies in waste, while you yourselves run each man to his own house, eager to build and to adorn it. Therefore, and I'm not even going to touch that. I don't even have to say any more about that adorning. You all know exactly what's going on there, see. Therefore, the heavens above you, for your sake, withhold the dew, see. And the earth withholds its produce. And I have called for a drought upon the land and the hill country, upon the grain and the fresh fruit juice, upon the oil and upon the ground, what the ground brings forth upon men and cattle, and upon all the wearisome toil of men's hands. See, all of this natural realm is going to have to be dealt with. Every area exposed so that there's nothing in you that has to be tested in the evil day. Hallelujah. It says, then Zerubbabel, which means the word born out of Babylon. See? What does Babylon mean? That means bondage. Beloved, when out of bondage that word gets birthed in you, you don't forget it. Every time I ever got free of something, that's why I go on that fear. I carried that fear for so many years. But when I got rid of it, see, when the chains were broken, see? The word born out of Babylon. Born out of bondage. Hallelujah. The son of Shetel, see. That the father of that man, Zerubbabel, means I ask of God. I have asked of God, see. When you get the pattern right, see. When you begin to seek God, see. When you begin to ask, the bondage is broken. A word is birthed. Hallelujah. A life word in the midst of you, see. And he said then, Joshua, see, like Jesus, the son of Jehoshaphat, see, out of justice, see, total truth, total rightness, righteousness, see. And who was the high priest, see, the service of God. With all the remnant of the people returned from captivity, see, listened to, see. There's the condition that's met. See. If your mind is a wandering in every realm of your flesh, beloved, if you're seeking the pleasures of your own desires and your desire is not desiring God, see, when you can't hear, you can't understand, and neither can you know. Because the Word says that whatsoever a man giveth himself to, that's what he becomes the servant of. And when you sow to your flesh, you'll reap to your flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, see, if you put on life, if you listen, see. Oh, I say, Lord, dig my ear. That's what David used to say. Dig my ear, Lord. Get everything out that's going to keep me from hearing the rhema word. See, let that life word be so energized within me. The force of it so full and complete and controlling that I wouldn't listen in any other realm but that heaven life realm where the word's stored up. That's waiting and ripening for the appearing in the fullness of time when God sums up His day and ushers in His millennial, when all of His glory, Harashumanakaya, brings forth a Jerusalem people, a Mount Zion, a threshing floor people. Jeru means threshing floor and Salem means peace. A Jerusalem people, a Zion people. The winnowing fan is in His, Jesus' hand. And I liken Him King of the mountain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we were kids, we used to play that game. And when the Lord said that to me, I really understood what He was saying. King of the mountain. And when you get the more guys you could throw down the hill, the longer you got to stay king on the mountain, see? And that's what's going on the threshing floor. We're throwing those old devils down the hill, hallelujah. Those things that beset us, that keep us, hallelujah, from knowing the full measure of the threshing floor, see? We're going to be there winnowed and fanned, purged, glory to God, delivered, separated from the chaff that we grew up with, hallelujah. It fanned away, into dry.
high places, so that when God brings into His fullness, His perfection, His whole measure, it'll be wheat and barley. Hallelujah. The planting of the Lord. Oh, that the rivers of life have flowed into a people whose knowledge and understanding, like the daughters of Zion, who rejoice in the presence of the Lord. They'll know that we have been called out, a many-membered body. We have been set free. We've been called deliverers, like the barefooted man that my brother taught me so much about. I drove the highway listening to your tape, my brother, and it ministered to me, and the tears would run down my face, and I'd have to pull over or get it so I could see to drive. There is a barefooted company of deliverers that God has set in this earth. He's always had a deliverer ready, and in this end time, it's a many-membered body. And what are we going to deliver? We're going to deliver creation. It's groaning and it's moaning in the pains of travail until this moment, waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And when a man walks barefooted, and this is his ministry, he looks careful what he's walking in. And that's what we're talking about. Wow, consider your ways. What are you walking in? Where are you today? What kind of life is life in you? Is it a mixture? Selfishness, desire, see? That's why God set up this end time campground, so that people can come and get foundation word into their being, set free so they can retain it. See? What does deliverance do? It makes more room in you for Jesus. Hallelujah. It lets you view His Word in holiness with holy eyes that will reverence and fear and be obedient to the Lord. It'll call you to discipline, and you wouldn't dare ask God for anything that was selfish to please your flesh, because you don't want anything to disturb your peace in God. There is a way of life, ooh, my Messiah, that He is longing for us to walk in. Where it says, my Father seeking such a people. When I realized that God was seeking me, hallelujah, that God of all creation could seek after a puny thing like me. My Lord, it's wonderful. Hallelujah. And so it says that the people listen to. And when you begin to listen, then you can obey, see. But if everything else in you is vying for your attention, see, if that old sly fox, the devil, is putting you in places of anger, resentment, jealousy, hatred, see, so that you can't listen, see, when you can begin to listen, you can obey. Hallelujah, see. When they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, this translation says, not vaguely, not partly, but completely, see. He'll leave nothing out. Nothing out, see. We're the apple of His eye. He intends for us to know the fullness of our salvation. As heirs, oh, hallelujah, unto the Lord God. We've seen Him in His humanity. But in the Spirit and by the Spirit and through the Spirit, we're going to see Him in His glory. We're going to understand the Revelator John's vision. And we're going to see heaven open, see. When there's nothing of this earthly order of death to hold you back in the dominion of death, you'll lay before Him. You know, I look at how the world gauges a man and his ability. He says he's something if he's got money and has position in the territory of his city. But beloved, when God makes a man, He takes him on the backside of the desert. He wrenches the things out of his hand that's going to cause him to be shapen in iniquity. And He puts a life word in him. And He gives him understanding and knowledge. And He calls him out of the world and out of the systems of man. And like John, the Revelator, who laid on the Isle of Patmos. If the world would look at John, they said, boy, John, you must have really done something bad for have to be exiled off here all by yourself. But here's old John laying back, hallelujah, seeing heaven open, seeing the revealed Jesus, see, the language of revelation, shadowed and typed, mysteries.
his language so inadequate to express the fullness of the vision, but the Word by the Holy Ghost set down so that when him who is revealed comes unto him who has received him, we'll know him, the author, the finisher of our faith, and we will dwell in him. Hallelujah. And rule and reign. Glory to God. To be a part of that plan. I see him in all of the splendor that John ascribed. But the Ancient of Days and the ages and the eons of time to come, a glorious people who stand without spot or wrinkle will know even as they're known. Such a vital part of the union of his body. So like the marriage vow, the bride and the groom, a bride taken out, this world created by a father who would take out of it a bride for his son. Hallelujah. So that every word that proceeded out of his mouth, so fulfilled in us, us so fitting into the plan, that the Lord our God could restore, heal, make whole. Hallelujah. Each what God had in mind before the foundation of the world. A kingdom, a priest, a holy nation, ripe unto the appearing for him whose eyes are looking and whose ears are listening, who's gone past that point of no return, where the things of God are so glorious and so exciting and so wonderful, it wouldn't occur to you to turn back, even to put a hand to the plow. See, a people so joined to him, the true temple, the true tabernacle. Zechariah said, watch, look at the branch, the Messiah. He's building the true temple. See, Moses built his tabernacle in the wilderness. David pitched his tent on Onan's threshing floor. Solomon erected a temple. But Jesus Christ, the Word, came to build the true temple. And you and I, the living stones, have been designed to fit into it. But let's go on. Hallelujah. Second chapter now. Well, let me see if I left anything good out here. It's all good in it. Hallelujah. I get so carried away. Hallelujah. It said, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people. See, when you get to that place where you're going to listen, you're going to hear what God's really saying. See, I used to think when I had a call in my life to ministry that I was just going to sing and carry on everywhere all over the country. And I did that for a long time. But when God got ready, began to pour a word in me that was full of life, I had a backside of the desert experience. We lost everything we had. I don't even want to tell you about it all. But it did me good, see. I wouldn't ask him to go back and undo anything. My husband left me for 10 years. I didn't divorce him. I don't believe in divorce. And he's now back in my house. He was awful sick, but he's well now. And I'm seeing God restore this man to him. See, we faint in weariness because we don't know the Word. Beloved, if it works, it works. Hallelujah. And if it's not working in your life, then check and see what kind of handbook you're looking at. Where did you fall short? When go back to that last place that you found imperfect to you and have a meeting there. Glory to God. And look at all your Bethel stones. Hallelujah. And find Him pleasant to your sight. And move on and apply His principles of life to everything that concerns you. And start expecting life in your problem. And instead of viewing it with death and destruction and failure, and let life, see, now that can't happen if you got all that junk in you. See,
The more you minister to depression and self-pity and all of those areas that the enemy uses as tools to whip you with, the more you are limited or blinded to what God has done for you and where you are in Him. But when you remove those obstacles, when you cast out those things that belong in death, beloved, we have done all the dying we are going to do. He has given us life, and out of life we have been designed to live forever. Hallelujah. And to try to handle this end time word, this Holy Ghost inspired truth in this hour with a death understanding, beloved, it will not work. But when your eyes, glory to God, are full of light, when you're walking in life, when you know that He was the firstborn of the dead and you are like Him, hallelujah, and you stop living to die and begin to live, and you let that old grave that had the epitaph of your name on it, and you step up out of that grave, glory to God, He said there's coming a day when they'll get up out of the grave and they'll live. And everybody thought of it with a natural understanding, and they saw themselves in death and waiting till that time to go to heaven. But let me tell you, there's a heaven word and a heaven life prepared for a people who are willing to live a life and glorify God and seek His face and meet the requirements of His word in this hour. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, the Lord aroused the spirit of Zerubbabel. Oh, I left out the best one. Let's go back to 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people. And He said, I am with you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you see, that's a life word. Now, I want to tell you about me. Years ago in Charlotte, North Carolina, a lady gave me a prophecy. And she said that I was going to soar on the wings of an eagle. And the Lord was going to take me up and He would show me things that even the angels didn't know. Well, you know, that just turned over inside of me. And I couldn't hardly stand it. It was so good. And every night it was my getting up thought, my laying down thought. And every time I had time alone in my attitude of prayer and seeking the Lord, I was always asking Him to let the eagle fly to my door. I'd find myself going to the door and looking. I literally believed that I was going to soar on the wings of the eagle. And I'd lay in my bed at night and I would cry out to God. And I'd get to shaking the bed so much in tears. I'd wake up my husband and I'd get up and I'd go in the living room and I'd sit and I'd get on my knees and I'd cry out half the night to the Lord for Him to take me up and to show me the things that the eagles, that the angels didn't know. And one night, And I just have to tell you this, I didn't sleep in my old holy nightgown anymore. I didn't want the Lord to come and see me looking like that. I slept in that one that you saved to take to the hospital in case you get sick. I believed it. I thought it was going to happen. And every night I did this. And this one night I was sitting in my living room and the chair was soaked with my tears and I've been crying out to God and I looked out to the door to see again if maybe the eagle hadn't flew. And the Lord spoke and He said, not yet, daughter, but soon.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.